The next LOS is to describe uses of country risk premiums in estimating the cost of equity. Using the CAPM to estimate the cost of equity is problematic in developing countries because beta does not adequately capture country risk. To reflect the increased risk associated with investing in a developing country, a country risk premium is added to the market risk premium when using the CAPM. The general risk of the developing country is reflected in its sovereign yield spread. This is the difference in yields between the developing country's government bonds, denominated in the currency of a developed market, and treasury bonds of a similar maturity. To estimate an equity risk premium for the country, adjust the sovereign yield spread by the ratio of volatility between the country's equity market and its government bond market, for bonds denominated in the developed market's currency. A more volatile equity market increases the country risk premium, other things equal. The revised CAPM equation is stated as the cost of common equity equals the risk-free rate plus beta times the quantity expected return on the market minus the risk-free rate plus the country risk premium. The country risk premium can be calculated as the sovereign yield spread times the annualized standard deviation of the equity index of the developing country divided by the annualized standard deviation of the sovereign bond market in terms of the developed market currency. In this equation, the sovereign yield spread equals the difference between the yields of government bonds in the developing country denominated in the developed market's currency and treasury bonds of similar maturities. Let's work through an example of this. Robert Rodriguez, an analyst with Omni Corporation, is estimating a country risk premium to include in his estimate of the cost of equity for a project Omni is starting in Venezuela. Rodriguez has compiled the following information for his analysis. Beta for this project is 1.25. The expected market return is 10.4%. The risk-free rate is 4.2%. The country risk premium is 5.53%. Based on this information, we can calculate the country risk premium and the cost of equity for Omni's Venezuelan project. The cost of equity using the CAPM equation is the risk-free rate of 4.2% plus the beta of 1.25 times the quantity market expected return of 10.4% minus the risk-free rate of 4.2%, plus the country risk premium of 5.53%. This results in a cost of equity for the project of 18.86%. The next LOS requires us to describe the marginal cost of capital schedule, explain why it may be upward sloping with respect to additional capital, and calculate and interpret its breakpoints. The marginal cost of capital is the cost of the last new dollar of capital a firm raises. As a firm raises more and more capital, the costs of different sources of financing will increase. For example, as a firm raises additional debt, the cost of debt will rise to account for the additional financial risk. This will occur, for example, if bond covenants in the firm's existing senior debt agreement prohibit the firm from issuing additional debt with the same seniority as the existing debt. Therefore, the company will have to issue more expensive subordinated bonds at a higher cost of debt, which increases the marginal cost of capital. Also, issuing new equity is more expensive than using retained earnings due to flotation costs. The bottom line is that raising additional capital results in an increase in the WACC. The marginal cost of capital schedule shows the WACC for different amounts of financing. Typically, the marginal cost of capital is shown as a graph. Since different sources of financing become more expensive as the firm raises more capital, the marginal cost of capital schedule typically has an upward slope. Breakpoints occur any time the cost of one of the components of the company's WACC changes. A breakpoint is calculated as the amount of capital at which the component's cost of capital changes, divided by the weight of the component in the capital structure. For example, a firm has a target capital structure of 60% equity and 40% debt. Its after-tax cost of debt is 4.2% for amounts of new debt up to $99 million, 4.6% for $100 to $199 million, and 5% for $200 to $299 million. Its cost of equity is 6.5% for amounts of new equity up to $199 million, 8% for $200 to $399 million, and 9.5% for $400 to $599 million. The firm will have a breakpoint each time a component cost of capital changes for a total of 4 breakpoints. The breakpoints for new debt of more than $100 million equals $100 million divided by 40%, or $250 million. The breakpoint for new debt of more than $200 million is $200 million divided by 40%, or $500 million. The breakpoint for new equity of more than $200 million is $200 million divided by 60%, or $333 million. The breakpoint for new equity of more than $400 million is $400 million divided by 60%, or $667 million. The final LOS for this topic review is to explain and demonstrate the correct treatment of flotation costs. Flotation costs are the fees charged by investment bankers when a company raises external equity capital. Flotation costs can be substantial and often amount to between 2 and 7% of the total amount of equity capital raised, depending on the type of offering. Since the LOS asks for the correct treatment of flotation costs, that implies there is an incorrect treatment. Many financial textbooks incorporate flotation costs directly into the cost of capital by increasing the cost of external equity. For example, if a company has a dividend of $1.50 per share, a current price of $30 per share, and an expected growth rate of 6%, the cost of equity without flotation costs using the constant growth model would be $1.50 times 1.06 divided by $30 plus 6%, which equals 11.3%. If we incorporate flotation costs of 4.5% directly into the cost of equity computation, the denominator of the constant growth model would become $30 times 1 minus the flotation cost, and the cost of equity increases to 11.55%. In this incorrect treatment, flotation costs effectively increase the WACC by a fixed percentage, and will be a factor for the duration of the project because future project cash flows are discounted at this higher WACC to determine project NPV. The problem with this approach is that flotation costs are not an ongoing expense for the firm. Flotation costs are a cash outflow that occurs at the initiation of a project and affect the project NPV by increasing the initial cash outflow. Therefore, the correct way to account for flotation costs is to adjust the initial project cost. An analyst should calculate the dollar amount of the flotation cost attributable to the project and increase the initial cash outflow for the project. For example, consider a project that requires a $400,000 cash outlay and is expected to produce cash flows of $150,000 per year for the next 4 years. The tax rate is 35%. And the before-tax cost of debt is 6.5%. The current share price is $36 per share, and the expected dividend next year is $2 per share. The expected growth rate is 5%. Assume the project is financed with 50% debt and 50% equity capital, and that flotation costs for equity are 4.5%. The appropriate discount rate for the project is the WACC. We will compare the NPV of the project using the correct treatment of flotation costs with the result that would be obtained from the incorrect treatment of flotation costs. The after-tax cost of debt is 6.5% times 1 minus 0.35, or 4.23%. The cost of equity equals $2 divided by $36 plus 5%, which is 10.55%. The WACC is 50% times 4.32% plus 50% times 10.55%, which equals 7.39%. Since the project is financed with 50% equity, the amount of equity capital raised is 50% of $400,000 or $200,000. Flotation costs are 4.5%, which equates to a dollar cost of $200,000 times 0.045, which equals $9,000. So the NPV of the project is negative $400,000 minus $9,000 plus $150,000 divided by 1.0739 plus $150,000 divided by 1.0739 squared plus $150,000 divided by 1.0739 cubed plus $150,000 divided by 1.0739 to the fourth power. This comes to $94,640. For comparison, if we would have adjusted the cost of equity for flotation costs, the cost of equity would have increased to 10.82%, which would have increased the WACC to 7.53%. Using this method, the NPV of the project would have been $102,061. The two methods result in significantly different estimates for the project NPV. Adjusting the initial outflow for the dollar amount of the flotation costs is the correct approach because it provides the most accurate assessment of the project's value once all costs are considered. Note that flotation costs may be tax deductible for some firms. In that case, the initial cash flow of the project should be adjusted by the after-tax flotation cost.